loud, just turn me up. Saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. I want to read that again. I want you to be sure this is in here. Saying, verse 15, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He reproved kings for their sakes. That's what I want to preach on this morning. God would help me. And I pray the Lord will help me. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. I hate to say this, but you know it's true. Respect for the ministry is at an all-time low. It really is. And I went in this pastor's church, and I wasn't there too long, and I wasn't used to these people. A little strange to me. But pastor was up in the pulpit, and I don't really like catcalling when a preacher's in a pulpit. Do you? Y'all know what catcalls are? That people hollering out at you while you're preaching. Yeah, amen is all right. But I really, you know, and this guy was catcalling while the pastor was in the pulpit. I didn't like it. I thought he was very disrespectful to that pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. If you owe your preacher anything, you owe him your respect. Huh? I tell my people, bless God, my name is not Mike. Yeah, if I catch anybody saying Mike, oh, you're shot dead. You're shot right there. 30-06 to your eyeballs. Amen. Yeah, you're not going to do that in my church. Yeah. But God, it's what God thinks about it. We let me tell you something. We know we're nothing. We know that. Nobody knows that better than us. But God called men and anointed them to preach. Amen. God calls them and anoints them. And then command you to leave them alone. Touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. So God protected Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. And God defended them to the hilt. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake. The men of God in their sake. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 16 that Korah and Dathan and Abram and 200 princes gathered themselves together against Moses, and they told Moses, you take too much upon yourselves. Listen to me. Amen. Don't reverse the role. It is pastor, then shepherd. It is shepherd, then sheep. Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, I tell you something. You want to have trouble? By God, get out. When you forsake that divine order, amen, you're headed for trouble. Yeah, praise God. And it was not Moses that took too much upon himself. Amen. All he had on himself is what God gave him. Is that all right? Amen. God called him and anointed him. But oh my God, wait here now. Amen. Moses, you're taking too much upon yourself. Amen. We are called of God just like you. Amen. But the Bible says in chapter 16, verse 20, God came down and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up alive. God, what a judgment. What a judgment, amen, when you stand against the man of God. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, the Bible said, when David cut off the skirt of Saul's garment, his heart smote him. And David said, God forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. watch it. Hey, here this guy, Saul, just a backslidden away from God, amen, as he could be. But old David treated his enemies better than most people treat their friends. Amen. Oh, glory. You know what? The test of your character is how you treat your enemies. You know that? Glory to God, there's some people that are just easy to love. Would you say amen on that? And I'm going to tell you something. There's some, you got to pray and fast and everything to love them. Is that all right? Woo! Glory to God. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Kings 2:23, amen, and as he was going by the way, they came forth little children and mocked him. Go up thou, bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there forth, amen, two sheep bears came out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. Oh, my God. Amen. Hey, listen. Amen. Everybody, every child, every grown-up has got to learn to respect the man of God. You've got to learn to respect the ministry, or you're going to get yourself in a bunch of trouble. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, I tell you, amen. Amen. Down in our country, there was a man got so mad at this preacher's preaching that after they caught him out and they took him and they said, we're going to give you the whipping of your life. And they did. They all gathered right. They were on their motorcycles and they called the preacher out and they give him the whipping of their lifetime. And when they beat him down and got him beat down, they all gathered around and urinated on top of the preacher. Yeah. Amen. They got on their motorcycles and they didn't make it an eighth of a mile to the ringleader, the one that led in the whooping. Hey, man, had an accident. And the first thing that happened to him, it ripped his eyeballs out of his head. Hey, man, and ripped his leg off of his body. You better watch when you lay your hand upon the man of God. Yeah! Glory to God. Hey, man, you know, I got to thinking last night. My God, I didn't know it at the time. But I was when I was a young preacher, we were having some of the best revivals. And 40 and 50 and getting saved at the same time. And water baptismal service, baptizing 40 and 50 and 60 people at a time. Oh, my God, what a move of God we had. We was over in Jewel Valley. And Brother Grant Horton went over there. And just several years before us. And he held a tremendous meeting at the same church. He got out there, amen, amen, several people got saved. So on a Sunday morning, they decided they were going to have a baptismal service. Amen. So after Sunday school, they all went down to the river. Amen. They got out there and started the baptismal service. And a bunch of guys come up on horses. He said, hey, what are y'all doing? He said, we're going to have a baptismal service. He said, you better get out of the water because we're going to run these horses right where you're standing. You better move. You better get out of the way. We're coming through. And they did. Amen. They rode their horse. They got out into baptismal where they was a baptizing people and rode their horses around in the water. Amen. They went up on the other side. Brother Grant got his people, started back out, amen, to baptize them again. Amen. Those guys didn't go, amen, 150 yards. Amen. Nothing in the sky. Lightning fell out of the sky and struck them dead, knocked them off their horses and left them there dead. Amen. I say this morning. Amen. You better not touch God's anointed. Amen. You better touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Amen. I want to tell you something. Amen. God has got his hand upon the ministry. Amen. He has his hand upon the preacher. I was preaching some years ago at my church. We had a church of God. He said he wasn't a preacher, but he come to my meeting, and he had been an elder over the church of God. And he'd get up and he'd tell them, he'd say, well, he said, the state overseer came, and the state overseer said, this church is doing better under your leadership than any preacher we have ever had in this church. At that time, he was 71 years old. And so he come for months, and call he would get up, and when he would testify, it was always about the church of God and how good he'd done in the church. And that didn't hurt me one bit. Ever what he wanted to say, those were fine folk. Those were good people as far as I know. Amen. Good holiness living people. But he was all time a ringing that same bell. And I learned him and his wife through that time. His wife was the name of Rosie. And old Rosie would get up, and I'm telling you something, she had a personal war with television. Woo! Glory to God. When Rosie would get up, and I'll guarantee you one thing, if you had a television, hello now, amen. By God, we've got everything. We don't even need them today. You can throw them out. We got enough replacements for television to fill hell. Come on here now. Glory to God. Hey, oh, yeah. 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 And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If watching stuff one time was a sin, it's still a sin this morning. Yeah. Glory to God. Hey, I want to preach to you this morning. If watching television was a sin years ago, it still is this morning. It will lead you down the wrong road. Do you hear me? Glory to God. Amen. Oh. So, Rosie, I'm telling you something. The old lady could get up and she could can television. I don't know if I even had to mention it the 2 years they were there, amen, or not, because every time Rosie got up, she went directly, amen, to that television, amen, and put the television. Well, they stayed there about 2 years, and Rosie died. And we help Claude through his time of suffering. And the best we could, didn't really know him real good. Everybody in that country knowed Rosie, but they didn't know Claude. Make a long story short, one Saturday morning, I went down to church, and this is just a few months after Rosie had died. And there was a man that was standing out in front of my church, and I said, he met me and he said, Brother Mike, he said, you know, we've missed Claude the last two or three services. I said, yeah, I have missed him. Missed him out of church. And he said, Brother Mike, I don't know how to tell you this. He said, but Claude's living with a woman. I said, what? He said, Claude is living with a woman. I said, no. Don't tell me that. He said, yeah. Now, how many of you people know what a sugar daddy is? Huh? Y'all know what a sugar daddy is? Huh? I see some of you young people look like, think I'm a Neanderthal man. Amen. You don't know what a sugar daddy is, do you? How many of you young people knows what a sugar daddy is? Huh? Oh, God. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway, because I just enjoy telling stuff like this. Now, listen. Listen to me now. Amen. When you, and this is so common out in the public, I don't get it. Here you go. Here you got this guy that's either white-headed or ain't got no hair. And he's going through this mall with this prima donna, and she ain't got a gray hair in her head. She is black-headed. She's 70 years old. She is black-headed. Amen. And he is either bald-headed or his hair's completely white. And there he's got this little prima donna, amen, ain't got a gray hair in her head. Huh? So a sugar daddy is an elder man that has got, by that time, if he's ever going to have any cash, he's got it right then. He done put it in that sock, amen, put it under his mattress, amen, that sock is full. Somebody was telling me yesterday about a guy saving dollar bills and putting them in shoe boxes. And every time he got the shoe box filled, he put it in his safe. Woo, glory to God. I don't know about all. But anyway, good. But anyway, when you're a sugar daddy, you got them shoe boxes full of them dollar bills, you know. And then you're drawing them, you may have worked at the post office, you may have been a coal miner, you got UMWA, you got a miner's pension, you're drawing Social Security. You, my friend, if you're unmarried, amen, constitute a sugar daddy. mercy. Amen. Well, I went up there to Claude's house, and I knocked on the door, and I said, Claude, I said, I need to talk to you. And at that time, he had turned 72 years old. And he said, I've been expecting your call, Brother Roberts. And I said, well, I said, I want to see if some things is true. And about that time, Sister Sugar come down the hall. Sister Sugar was about 47, 48 years old. And she was going with Mr. Sugar. Amen. It was 72. Now listen here. God, wake up. Would you shake yourself? Would you pinch yourself and wake up? He's not after your good looks. Are you stupid? Amen. Have you lost, amen, every brain cell you got in your head? Amen. You're not good looking at all. You are through. I'm just telling everybody what a sugar daddy is. Amen. Hey, stupid. The only reason she loves you is your bank account. Hello, wake up. Hello. By God, hold my glasses, brother. Hold this right here. Hello. God, amen. Let's get real here this morning. Praise God. Hey, you're just about past going. And when you get completely past going, she gets the sugar. Right. Yeah. Woo! Is that all right? And I said, now listen, Claude. Her divorce wasn't final. And I said, now listen, Claude. I said, here's the deal. I said, you think when her divorce is final, that you're going to marry her, and then you're going to come back to church, and everything is going to be fine. Huh? I said, if that's what you're thinking, I said, the preacher come to tell you this morning, it ain't going to work. It don't work like that. You hear me? Amen. You don't marry a divorced woman. Whosoever marries her that is put away, as for I used to read my Bible, amen, committeth adultery. Is that right? Is that what the Word of God says? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how much tithes you pay. It's still in the Bible. It's still the Word of God. Yes, sir. Amen. So I sit down at the table. Sister Sugar come down the aisle. I give her a quick glance. And about that time, he erupted on me. He jumped up from the table. And he said, you're dismissed. Amen. He went over, opened the door, and throwed me out of his house. Next Sunday, the very 7 days, 7 days after he throwed me out of his house. And the last thing old Claude looked at me and said was this right here. He said, now, he said, I want you to listen. He said, I know what the Bible says. And I looked back at him and I said, Claude, you better know what the Bible says because you're in big trouble, old buddy. Yeah. And 7 days, I went back down to the church the next Saturday morning. Amen. And the same guy walked out on the porch. He said, Brother Mike, have you heard? And I said, no. He said, Claude dropped dead this morning. 7 days. He's gone. You better touch not my anointed and do my prophets. Woo, God. I said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets. No harm. My God, amen. I had one of the meanest men. One of the meanest men I ever pastored in my life was by a man by the name of Robert Newberry. Amen. He was a gambler. He was a knifer. He was a thug. Amen. I'm telling you something. I don't know where this guy come from. Amen. But he come to my church for quite a while. One Sunday morning, I got up and preached on when a chickens come home to roost. It's an old text. I don't know who preached it first, but it's been preached 100 times since then. Amen. And I got to, the trouble you can get in preaching against people and tobacco. Yeah. Anybody for preaching being done here this week? Anybody hammered tobacco? Good. I hate to preach against something that's already been wore out, praise God. But let me tell you something. It is wrong to chew and dip and smoke. You can't do that, be a Christian. Amen, brother. You know any sanctified people? that smoke, chew, and dip? No, sir, I don't know the first one, do you? Amen, but I'm going to tell you something. Amen, God does not fill sewer pipes. Amen, God does not fill chimneys. Amen. Glory to God, amen. Hey, if you're smoking and you're chewing and you're dipping, there is deliverance for you this morning, and God will do it right in this service. If you're honest with Him, God will take care of it. Well, I hammered it. I hammered it that morning for just a little while. When I got home from Sunday school, I got a phone call, old Robert. And he said, let me tell you something, preacher. He said, you don't get up and hammer people for doing stuff like that in church. He said, that's not preaching. He said, you think you're preaching when you're preaching against that old tobacco and stuff like that? He said, that's not preaching. He said, I don't come to church to hear preaching like that. Oh, God, he hammered me. He hammered me. He threatened me. Amen. My wife was... I had him on the speakerphone, and my wife was a little... Let me tell you something. When a guy calls you up and he says, I'm going to kill you, you don't have a thing in the world to worry about. No, that's all mouth. Now, if the guy shows up and knocks on your door and says, I'm going to kill you, get ready. Oh, God. Either have on your... By God, your lucky stripes, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Or be close to God, because get ready, here she comes, amen. Oh, Newbury hammered me. He made my wife nervous. She thought he was going to kill me. Amen. The next day was the Allentown meeting, and we decided to drive down and go to Allentown. And they called me that evening. And old Bob that evening, right before dark, was outside, and he had a heart attack, and he fell down on his knees. Amen. And he died right there at his mobile home, just a few feet from that telephone. Amen. Where he had jumped all over me. Let me tell you something this morning. You better learn this lesson and learn it good. Touch not my anointed and do the prophets no harm. You hear me? Amen. Leave him alone. Now, I was up in Ohio. And I'm preaching a meeting up there. And these people had, the church I was preaching at, they had left the pastor and had gone to another church. So, what you want to do, that's what you need to do. My God, just leave. So, these people come over as great friends of ours. And the first thing they did when they got over there where I was at, they started running the pastor down where I was going to church. So, I listened to it for just a few moments, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, boy, it's quiet. Maybe it's just me. You know what? I looked at him and I said this. I said, so he's a terrible guy. Yeah, terrible guy, bad guy. I said, so you left him. Is that right? And he said, yeah, we left him. I said, you're not supporting him anymore at all, are you? No. We took our tithe, we went to another church. And I said, now you've left. You're not supporting the preacher anymore. I said, why don't you leave him alone? Huh? Leave him alone! My God, leave him alone! Why endanger your soul by standing right there and digging on it and digging on it? My God, if you're going to leave, that's the trouble. They never leave. They go 100 miles away and they never leave. They're all time right there digging at you. All time right there rooting at you. All time right there ready to say something hurtful about you. They may hurt you if they... Why don't you just leave and shut up? You know what happened? Amen. You know what happened? By God, they tucked out at us too. Amen. It was almost 12 years before they ever spoke to me again. Thank God. Let me tell you what you do. My God, we're leaving. Go. Just go ahead. Go. Go. Huh? I can't believe you said that, brother. I'm saying I'm not speaking of I said, get out of there. Go ahead and leave. But just be sure When you do, you shut up. Let it die. Don't ever mention it to nobody. Don't ever cross that trail another time. If you go, hey, how many of you know how to go to church and never have any church trouble? Oh, glory to God. You know how to go to church. My God, this is some good stuff. Huh? Praise God. I'm going to tell you how to go to church and not have church trouble. Huh? You want to hear me? How many of you want to hear it? It's good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, if you got a pencil, you might want to write this down. Go ahead and write it down, sis. Hey, man, this is good stuff. You don't have a pencil? You got a pencil? You got a piece of paper? Well, write it down for somebody that needs it. Praise God. Here's how you do it. You want to know? Glory to God, here it is. Here's the highlight of my message right here. How to go to church, amen, and not have any trouble. M-Y-O-B. Some of you got it, some of you ain't. Hallelujah, amen. Mind your own business. That's M-Y-O-B. Mind your own business. Amen. Glory to God. Don't get with a church talker. Don't get with a church tattletale. Amen. My God, when you go to church, just mind your own business. One old boy down home, he said, my neighbors take care of all of my business. He said, my wife controls my money. And he said, I don't have a problem in the world. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you something, when it turns into trouble is when right into church, amen, anything with more than one head is a monster. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. This church has just got one head, and his name is Brother Bobby Roadcap. Amen. Glory to God, anything with more than one head is a monster. Amen. And let him, amen, take care of that church. Man, you know it's true. Amen. Woo! God, mind your own business. Well, I want to know what he makes. The question is not what I make. The question is how much you make. Amen. Now, if you'll tell me, I think we ought to put it on the bulletin board what the pastor makes. Yeah, and we're going to put yours right beside of it. Some of you are going to have to get over the preacher now. Well, he makes more than I do. He ought to. He pays more. Do you know how churches are run? Yeah, usually, most of the holy churches are run. You take the offering. You do the best you can. I'll fire you from taking an offering if you just get there. We ain't going to receive an offering. Sit down. No, don't take an offering up like that. My God, you got to make them bleed just a little. Is that all right? You got to make them bleed just a little bit. Put your El Crunchio on. Hallelujah. My God. Amen. This is your hour. Amen. Oh, brother. Amen. It's all right for you. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, you get up there. You go, oh, my God. Hey, let me tell you something. You're going to have to get over the preacher. But here's what the preacher does. Gets up there, does the best he can. He tries to milk as many cows as he can. There ain't no cow. Well, you're a goat then. We'll milk either one. Amen. Glory to God. Whoa. But anyway, we try to take up a good offering. We'll get up there. Nine times. Do you count the offering, Pastor? Somebody else count it. I always count it. I always count the offering. I want to know how much it is. So, when it's I always do that. So I got up there the other night, and the preacher, this way all holiness preachers usually operate. How much is the offering? Well, let's say Brother Pete, you're a preacher for me, and they take the offering up $69. Where do you live, brother?
Madison, North Carolina.
North Carolina. How far is that from Richland? You have any idea? 150 miles. Yeah, mostly 200. Well, we come up. We're going to have Brother Pete. Come and preach for us. The preacher gets up and he preaches his heart out. And then we take up an offer. They put $69 in that offer. Now, brother, I'm going to do the math here. That ain't enough. So you know what you do? You know what the holiness preacher does? He takes his wallet out, and he gets $125 out of his own wallet, and he puts it pad. We call it padding the offering. And most holiness preachers, that's what they do, because the honor of my church lies on my lap and on my shoulder. Amen. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt you some night after the service is over. You go up and say, hey, preacher, what was the offering? Yeah, I want to be sure the preacher got enough. Is this all right, preacher? Is this all right? Good? Good? Any of you preachers don't go along with this? Raise your hand. Well, you went to the school of dumb and graduated stupid. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on here now. Praise God. Amen. I know what I'm talking. Don Ingram come up, preached for us the other night, and the offering was $69. He lives 260 miles from Richlands. $69. So El Cachino here, amen, had to get out the old wallet and do a little dry cleaning and padding that offering. Well, I'm used to it because I've done it for 42 years. You don't know nothing about that, do you? You think you have done God service when you have put old George to the test. Somebody say, well, let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. What's it cost you to have a revival? $6? My God, amen. Hey, wake up and get in the real world. That's why God loves a preacher. He's the most unselfish man that goes to church. Most of our camp meetings is run off of the money that the preacher puts in the offerings. Yes, sir. Hey, yes, sir. You go to the Richland Tabernacle, amen, get up and take them up an offering, and you'll have 40 preachers give $100, and you might have 10 or 12 people, amen, to pitch in and try to help. You know I'm preaching right. You just might as well say amen because I'm not shutting up. Huh? Oh, Brother Mooneyham was from Kentucky. Brother Ralph Mooneyham, he was an humble man of God. He's the only guy that I ever know of that went to a camp meeting and he fasted. Richlands used to be 10 days, brother. It was a 10, do you remember when it was a 10-day camp meeting? Huh? Back there in the old church, it's 10 days. And I'm telling you something grueling. They had an 8 o'clock service, a 10 o'clock service, a 2 o'clock service, and a 7 o'clock service for 10 days. They wore everything out up and down. My God, some of them wanted oxygen. Amen. Friday and Saturday, the last Friday and Saturday, I'm telling you something. My God, it wore them out. Everybody was wore out. And Brother Mooneyham went to that camp meeting and he fasted 10 straight days at that camp meeting. He'd get up behind that pulpit and by the last of that camp meeting, he was so weak from fasting and praying. Amen. All he'd done was shake his bony hand at the crowd and say a few words and bow his head and ask sinners to come. And they would jump up out of the pews and they would run to the altar. David Horton got saved under Ralph Mooneyham's preaching. So he went there and he knowed all of Gratz's boys. And old David was lost. And old Brother Ralph Mooneyham said, I'll pray it all fast. Hey, man, do you get saved? And old David Horton in 1967, hey, man, went to the camp meeting under old Brother Mooneyham. Hey, man, and before that camp meeting was over, hey, man, it was all off. God, old David run to that altar when he looked at that little old guy. Well, Ralph Mooneyham was a fastingest, prayingest preacher that I ever read about in my life. He lived near a guy. How could anybody find fault with a precious old preacher man like that? Yeah, my God, he lived right beside the old devil himself. Amen. Ralph's cow got out into his neighbor's garden. Neighbor went over and shouted him out of the house. And he said, listen here. He said, your cow is out in my garden. And I'm going to give you the whipping you very well deserve right now. He jumped on that poor old preacher man, the old time preacher man, and he beat him. And he beat him along the side of the highway right there at the fence. Amen. Where was his guard at? Beat that old man down in the ground and left him. Amen. Went back to his house, got on his horse, saddled up on his horse. His horse throwed him up in the air. Amen. And he come off his horse, and his foot was caught in the stirrup. And that horse drug him till he was dead. And he stopped right at the place that Ralph Mooneyham, where he had beat the preacher. And he died right there where the died right there in the place, where the preacher man was at. That ain't all the story. They got to looking. And that cow that had went out in his garden had never stepped on one plant that his neighbor had planted. God said, touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. You better watch. You better watch. You better watch. When you jump on the man of God, you better be careful. Listen to me. God has reproved kings for their sakes. God loves a preacher. This preacher buddy of mine told me this just a few months ago out of his own mouth. He said a guy got so mad at him that he come out to his church, and him and his deacons was out in the parking lot, and that guy took a semi-automatic weapon, amen, and shot it right over top of their heads, the preacher and all of his deacons. He said, by God, I didn't know that he wasn't shooting right at us. He said, oh, he said, you talk about scared, Brother Roberts. He said, we were scared. Oh, God, was we scared. That guy laughed. That guy, he said he made fun of us. He hollered. He catcalled. He done everything to us and fired that pistol right at us, but it was over top of our heads. Said the next day, this very same guy went in his garage, and he had a 5-gallon can of gasoline that he wasn't paying no attention to. He struck his welder up, and the sparks went over in that 5-gallon can of gasoline, and it blowed him and burned him to bits. God said this, touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Stand to your feet.